playing?
Try.
It's just a breath away. It's just a blink away. I mean, your turn, is it? I mean, it ain't far off.
Amen.
I mean, it's a moment, twinkling of an eye, one breath. It ain't that far. Lord God, it ain't way down the road or anything else. David said there's but a step. Amen. You ought to listen to that. He said there's but a step between me and death. I mean, you close your eyes over here and open them up somewhere else. Thank God. I'm glad mine's in that far country. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm glad I'm headed that way. Thank God. I mean, I've got reservations over yonder. Amen. My name's been written down. The Lamb's book of life. Thank God. Hallelujah. One day my number will be called. My name will be called. Your turn to come home. Thank God. Ain't that a blessing? Oh, Lord, some people dread it. I'll tell you what, it ain't that bad. I don't believe. Amen. Slip on out of this down here and slip into a glorified body. One fashioned like unto the Son of God. And to a place where dwelleth righteousness. No sin enters in. There ain't no curse over yonder. Thank God. Don't have to fight the devil in hell all the time. That's good enough right there, ain't it? But then just think about it. On top of all of that, just to get to see him. Amen. That's the icing on the cake right there. Just to see him. I mean, now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Lord, I believe that's the best thing we can do right there, to see him.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13 for a few minutes. And I sure appreciate the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad to be in God's house. Might be just a few of us tonight. But anyway, hopefully the rest of them will get back in town. One thing or another, whatever it is, maybe just get back. I don't know. But I've had this on my mind. I preached out of these scriptures Thursday night, along with 2 Samuel chapter 24, where it said, I give you the sure mercies of David.
Amen.
And I believe 2 Samuel chapter 24 is where most of that stuff took place. And then over here, Paul the Apostle is telling them about it. But when I read this the other night, it was hard. Sometimes you read something and you want to go a totally different way with it. But I was trying to stay pretty true to what the Lord had put on my heart about that. Tonight, I'm going to go the other way. And it's not that it's different. It's just, Lord, I want to see it. The Bible said in verse 14 of Acts chapter 13, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And I want to preach on tonight words of exhortation. I want to talk to you about what Paul preached to them here. And I believe if there is any words of exhortation, it's what Paul preached. And then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. I kindly picture this. I don't think Paul was wanting to let anybody get in front of him here. I believe Paul felt like that crowd that was there, they were seeking after God. There's a reason they're there. There's a reason they come to the synagogue. There's a reason they were there. But to be honest about it, they really didn't know anything about what the Lord had done. Now they had the law and they had the prophets. That's what they read to them. But anyway, the Bible said that God, the God of this people of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their names in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which they read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now remember that verse as I go on here in just a few minutes. I'll back up to it. But it said, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Amen. Amen. These are pretty good words of exhortation right here, isn't it? Thank God. The Bible said, but God raised him from the dead. And when he had seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, which are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Thank God. Father, we bow before you and we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God. And I would tonight, Lord, to ask you that you'd help us to exhort the crowd tonight. I pray tonight, Father, Lord God, we need you. Lord God, we need our hearts lifted up. Lord God, we need encouraged in your word. Lord God, we need a reason to go a little further. Lord God, we need some strength from the throne, Lord. God, we need touch from the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray tonight, Father, Lord God, that you'd just help our hearts, Lord. God, I beckon you tonight, Father, Lord God, to lead us and to guide us, Lord. I pray for those that's listening by means of radio or television, whatever it is, Lord, help them tonight, Father. Lord, in visiting your people, Lord. I mean, that's the thing, Lord God, when you show up in the midst, Lord. And the Bible said you're in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I believe you're in the midst, Lord, but help us, Lord God, to see you. Help us to feel you. Help us to know your presence. Help us to hear your voice, Lord God. That's the only thing that really helps us in the day and hour we're living in, is a touch from thee, Lord. God, we come before you. Thank you one more time tonight, Father, for being in your house. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you just for a little while. I'll try not to be too long tonight, but I do want to mention some things here. The Bible said over here that when they had departed from Perga, they'd come to Antioch and Pisidia, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Now, I was thinking about that. Here they are, and a lot of things have taken place. And I want to read something to you here that helps us here. The Bible said, it said in verse 27, it's where I told you to remember, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets which they read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled in condemning him." Here they was, and they were still reading the law and the prophets, but they did not know anything that took place. Amen. They did not have a clue that anything had already gone on. They didn't have a clue, and think about it. They'd read the law over there, and that's pretty good, ain't it? I mean, the law's not bad. The Bible said the law's good. Another place it said the law is holy. I mean, you know, the law, but I mean, here's the thing about the law. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3:13, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until the day remaineth, the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Every time they read the law over there, there's a veil put on the heart of man.
Amen.
I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, under the law, you're guilty. I mean, you can get up every Sabbath and read that, but if you read the law, I read over here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 9, Paul said this, the same preacher, "For I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came, sin revived, and I died."
Amen.
Said every time they began to read the law, I was a dead man. I mean, there was never a revival that come out of the law as far as people getting right with God and getting closer to God and all that. The only revival that ever come out of the law was a revival of sin. People found out what sin was. And they found out that there's none good, no, not one. And I mean, my God, I mean, that's what the Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets." I mean, see, there's none good in this law business. Never have been, but that's what they got up and read. That's all they thought they had. But Paul's getting up and he's wanting to exhort the crowd. And not only that, but listen, here's what got me. Not only would they get up and read the law, but they would read the prophets. They knew that there's supposed to be a virgin-born child coming. They knew that there'd be a son given, a child is born and son is given. They knew Isaiah chapter 53 that he would be smitten of God. Rejected of men. I mean, they knew that he'd bear our transgression. They knew the things of the prophets. They understood that he'd be born. I mean, when they asked the wise men, he said he'd be born over in Bethlehem, Judea. They knew where he's going to be born. They knew the star would shine. They knew all the things. But when it happened, they missed it. So as they're reading this, they didn't have a clue what God had already done. I guess they may have heard of this man named Jesus, but they never give him a second look. He didn't look like a king. He didn't look like a ruler. He didn't look like somebody that'd come and the government would be upon his shoulders. That's what they're looking. He didn't look like a wonderful counselor, Almighty God. He didn't look like the things that the prophets talked about.
Amen.
But that's who he was.
Amen.
Amen. They missed him. The Bible said there in verse 27, it said, "They knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which they read every Sabbath. They have fulfilled them in condemning him." They didn't realize, the crowd that's sitting here did not realize that the Lord had used them to fulfill the prophet's voice, the prophet's prophecies in condemning him. The just for the unjust. The man that was sinless, spotless. Yeah. Lord God, here he is. And so here, now this is an exhortation. I mean, he's telling them. I mean, he lays it out there. I mean, they just did not know. Now, don't you think they like that? You don't even know who God is. That's what he told them. You don't know the voice of God. You don't know what God's already done. Now, here's the crowd that's reading it. Here's the scribes, the Pharisees, and all the big dudes sitting in the temple doing this. And I mean, he tells them, you don't even know God. But he wasn't being mean to them. He said, I want to exhort you. They asked for a word of exhortation, and Paul said, I'd like to give you one.
Amen.
You've been looking. I mean, you've been reading the law of Moses. You understand that under the law of Moses, we're all guilty. And so you've been prophesying for the Messiah to come. But I'd like to give you some exhortation. This one that has been spoken of by the prophets, he has already been here. And you condemned him, and I mean, you sentenced him to death, you persuaded Pilate, you influenced the people, but the Bible said he laid down his life for you, thank God. I'd like to exhort you and let you know something. I mean, this man came to do and fulfill the will of God, and after he fulfilled the will of God, God raised him from the dead. Lord, I'd like to exhort you and say that God raised him from the dead. Oh, you say, well, that didn't do nothing but condemn them, but he didn't leave them right there. The Bible said this. It talked about David. I mean, Lord God, he's the, far as I know, one of the best, if not the best, one of the best couple kings that there was. I mean, but the Bible said that even David, as good as he was, after he had served his own generation and he died, the Bible said that he saw corruption. But this man, thank God, amen, this man saw no corruption. You say, I mean, see, I'm trying to exhort you tonight like Paul did. This man was sinless and spotless. Corruption could not take hold of him. I mean, there was no reason for death to hold him. There's no reason. Sin had no accusations against him. I preached here a week or two ago. I believe sin had to testify and say he never broke the laws of Moses. I don't believe he ever done anything wrong. Sin had to let him go. Death had to let him go. The graveyard had to let him go. The Bible said this. It said, but he who God raised saw no corruption. Thank God. And you say, well, that still don't exhort them very much. Well, wait till then you see this. He said, listen, verse 38 and 39, I like it. Here's where the exhortation comes in. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, if you don't even go no further right there, that's an exhortation. When they start reading the law to you and your heart's veiled and you think, well, I can't look at God. I can't be around God. I'm guilty. But this man, thank God, he forgives you of all sin. Amen. Hear this crowd sitting in the temple. And, I mean, you got any words of exhortation? Hey, I know somebody that'll forgive you of all of your sins. Lord God, if that don't help you, they ain't going to be no help for you. I can't promise you help down here on this earth. I can't promise you riches. But I'll tell you what, I promise you if you ever get to Jesus, he'll forgive you of all of your sins, thank God. He'll do a work in you, thank God, that you never thought could be done. He'll do a work for you that your mama couldn't give you, or your daddy couldn't give you, nor nobody else. I mean, that's talking about what a friend we have in Jesus. He'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, thank God. That's what Paul called him. He said, men and brethren, Lord, I'd like to pick you up here. I realize the things that I just said and read to you, Lord God, they condemned you because you're guilty of crucifying the Son of God. I'm guilty of crucifying the Son of God. It's my sins he died for. But thank God the Bible said this. It said that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now listen. Verse 39, it said, and by him all that believe. Whew. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad that he finally gave me something that I could do. I couldn't do anything else to please him. I told him I'd be good, but I never was any good. I was sincere. Sincerity don't get you to heaven. Oh, Lord God, listen to me. You'll go to hell being sincere. Hell's full of people sincere with God. But I mean, I was telling him I'd be good and I'd do this and I'd do that. And I was sincere. I meant it. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't fulfill my own promises. I couldn't do it. But the Bible said unto him, and by him all that believe are justified. Ain't that good? Now listen. Are justified from all things. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That stuff that they just got through sitting over there reading. This is what I'm trying to say. None of the stuff that they were doing in the reading of the law of Moses was going to help any of that crowd get saved, get blood washed, get forgiven, make it to heaven. None of that stuff was going to help them. But Paul said, I've got a word of exhortation. I know a man that you've been reading about. He fulfilled all the law of Moses. I know a man that they prophesied about. You're looking for him to come. He's already been here. This man named Jesus. He's already come and fulfilled the will of God. He kept all the law, every jot, every tittle. He fulfilled it all. He laid down his life for you to forgive you of all of your sins. Say, what I got to do? The Bible said, all who believe. That's it. Oh, Lord God, just believe. Are justified. I like that little word, justified. That's a pretty good word, ain't it? Just like you've never done nothing wrong. Oh, but we know the truth, don't we? Think about it is when that blood's applied to you, and it don't change the truth. It's just that he done it. Listen, the just for the unjust.
Amen.
He justified us. So how did he do that? He paid the debt that you owed.
Amen.
Oh, it's not that you went free. No, he paid it.
Amen.
It's not that God didn't have the debt paid. It's just Jesus paid it on your behalf. He done it for you. He paid it in full also. There's nothing owed. Not one thing. I've been thinking on that. I preached it a lot, but it just hit me the other day. I preached this a lot and never preached it the way it should have been preached, I guess. One of my favorite verses over in the Old Testament over there where Joseph told that crowd when they come down there and would get the corn and they would pay for the corn, then Joseph would always have the money that they paid with put back in their sacks. And when they went back down, you know the story, they'd get back down there and they'd have the corn and they'd have their money too. They're fearful to go back, but when they'd go back, they said, look, when we got back down, our money's here, we want to pay you, and then we want to pay you for the next bunch we're getting. And Joseph told them this. He said, I had your money. What he said was this. Pharaoh got paid. It's just that I paid it.
Amen.
Your money's no good down here. I paid for it.
Amen.
But this is the part I've never preached. I never thought of it. I thought, well, that's just has. But you know what they done? They eat off of that for the next 450 years until they left there too. It wasn't he just didn't pay that little bit, those few little loads. Bless God, he fed them until they got out of the land.
Amen.
And paid for it. Brother Gary, mine's paid for until I get out of the land.
Amen.
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 My sins are paid for.
Amen.
Until I get out of the land. Until I leave here. And then when I leave here, I'm going to a place where there is no sin.
Amen.
No sin enters in. Thank God. See, the Bible said this. It said, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. See, it said there, you could not. You couldn't. I've been thinking about that. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, I read that one verse, but I want to read a couple more to you. It said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets. See, the law and the prophets had to be there to witness it, that it was fulfilled. They had to be witnesses. I mean, that it was fulfilled. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all and upon all that believe, there is no difference. Now listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Here he is again. He's making another declaration, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Amen. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
So here Paul is, and I'm about done, but here Paul is. They've given an opportunity as he went into the synagogue and they read the law and the prophets. Didn't even know that it already happened. And said, anybody here got a word of exhortation? Paul beckons with his hands and said, I'd like to tell you something. The law is fulfilled. All the prophets are fulfilled. He's already came. He's already done the job. And the Bible said over in John 14, he said, he's coming back. He said, if I go, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. He said, and if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Thank God. And the place, and I've preached this a lot, the place wasn't the mansions that he is preparing. The place he prepared was the mercy seat. He took his own blood.
Yeah.
See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
There's no remission of sin. So he shed his own blood. He took that blood to heaven and he put it on the mercy seat. Thank God.
Amen.
To fulfill the redemptive purchase price for you and me. Thank God he loved you that much.
Amen.
Brother Gary preached on this morning, for God so loved the world. That's how much he loved us. He done all that. Paul said, I'd like to exhort you. I'd like to tell you that he came. He died for you. He rose again. He never saw corruption. And what he does, he takes sinners. Sinners. I'd like to exhort you and say this. He takes sinners. Guilty. Guilty. Gives them mercy. Don't save them because they've changed. He saves them by grace.
Amen.
Amen. He said, all that come to me and all in no wise cast out. He'll make the change. Don't you worry about that.
Amen.
Thank God he'll justify you in the eyes of God. He said, I'd like to tell you. He said, why would he do that? Paul said, just because he loves you. What Gary said this morning, because he loved you. Why would he leave heaven? Because he loved you. He didn't want to leave you that way. He read this morning, he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I'm not here to condemn you. I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Paul wasn't condemning this crowd. He's trying to tell them. And I noticed something about this in reading this. If you'll look back and you'll go over to Acts chapter 7, you'll find out that the Lord let Paul preach the very same sermon that he consented unto the death of Stephen. Paul had to go back and read them. They're almost just verbatim. Paul had to get up and regurgitate Stephen's message. But that was what it took to exhort them.
Amen.
That's what it took.
Yeah.
Thank God for them to find out. That was words of exhortation. Great God. You don't have to keep following the law and keep following the prophets. Now you can follow Jesus himself. He's came. He done the job. He fulfilled the will of God. Hallelujah. Now I want to say this and I'll be done. If you'll go on and read the rest of that chapter, you'll find out that the Jews got envious because almost the whole city turned out. They got upset. Because they started coming to listen to Paul instead of listening to the reading of the law and prophets. That's what they was upset about. They had a big crowd that morning. Until it went from that. You know, and then I love the statement that's made down there. The Gentiles come and said, look, would you preach to us next Sabbath?
Amen.
And the Bible said that he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Amen.
And he got this big crowd by preaching the grace of God. And that other crowd got upset because they couldn't no longer preach the law and the prophets. Everybody left that and come over to the grace of God where Paul was at. I mean, ain't that something? Boy, I'd like to exhort you just to continue in the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. It'll get you home.
Amen.
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 Law and the prophets, it'll just veil your heart because you can't stand before God with that. You've got to have something in between you. That's the reason that veil was in that temple. You couldn't walk into the presence of God without that blood sacrifice, and you couldn't do it no way. It had to be a priest once a year that'd go in there. But now the veil's rent from top to bottom. Now, whosoever will can go on in. Thank God. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord. I'd like to exhort you to continue in the grace of God, to stay with Him. Hallelujah. It's what Paul done. That crowd got upset because they left. But thank God. I know this. I was under that law business for a while. And I understand exactly what Paul said there. The commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I was a dead man. I got to where I couldn't stand. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to hear nobody preach. I didn't want to hear them sing. They'd get up and sing Amazing Grace and then preach Moses to me. Well, which way is it? Is it the grace of God or is it the law of Moses? Till finally I found out one day he done everything he said he done.
Amen.
It's fulfilled. Everything. There's nothing else has to be done for you to go to heaven other than you just believing. Nothing else. You can't do nothing but trust Him. Just believe Him. Just believe Him. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to let you go here in a minute. Amen. I sure appreciate the Lord. He sure is good to us.
Absolutely.
Better than I deserve. Amen. All right. Brother Willie, go ahead.
Father, in Jesus' name, we come, Lord. We do thank you for the preached word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's already been done. I'm glad Jesus was already signed. I'm glad He's already done everything that we need. Our Father, from here to glory. Lord, I thank you, our Father, that He went in the fire. I'm glad He didn't stay in the fire. I'm glad He come out that third day. I'm glad that He Our Lord God, that day when he went away, he said that same angel standing there and said, why you been gazing here? This same Jesus you see go away or come back. I'm glad, thank God, he's going to come and get his bride. Lord, we thank you tonight for loving us. We thank you, Lord God, for shedding the blood of Jesus, our Father, for our sins, Lord. And Lord, bless you people, Lord. Bless you children. Help every heart. Our Father will thank you, Lord, for what you do. Our Father, God, just help us. Our Father, Almighty God, thank you for the amazing grace of God. That's the only thing that'll help us is that grace.
Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.